Hi, Carm here, and welcome to the 400th episode, a big milestone for the Aftermarket's premier podcast, and without you, it wouldn't be possible. We're going to talk about the goal that I've always had for you, the listener, and you know, that one thing? Now here's a taste. Well, you know, that just helps confirm and affirm the passion that I have when I first started out, and that is, you know, to help all ships rise in the industry and to get the stories told of, you know, certain success. And the beauty of it is that each of you here at a certain level of your own success. But I think if I asked you all, have you reached the pinnacle yet? You'll all tell me, I guarantee, say, absolutely not. Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to the 400th episode. I started back in March 2015 with the seed of an idea to help all ships rise in the industry. Now, hats off to those first 20 guests who helped get this juggernaut started. It was you, the listener, who has embraced the learning opportunities burned from the voices of the aftermarket, and you deserve the credit for embracing and listening. I ask that you listen to learn just one thing, and you did. So I decided to make this episode reflect on that one thing. Hey, no doubt that if it wasn't for the sponsors who put food on my table, you would not have this podcast as a tool in your arsenal. Please understand the gratitude I have for my sponsors, and thanks to Federal Mogul for being there for the last 3 years. Now, moving forward into the 400s, there are some new sponsors, Napa and Apex. Now, keep in mind the sponsors are responsible for bringing you this free resource. Now, you know I'll be at Apex 2019 with my studio, and I can't wait to see the cool new products and technologies at Apex. In fact, it's the number one reason shop owners attend. Mark your calendars. Be there November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. For information, please visit aapexshow.com. Hey, now for a special podcast event, the 400th Remarkable Results Radio episode. You know, I reached out to the podcast guest alumni, and I asked them to think about our slogan. You know it, listen to learn just one thing. I wondered if they could pick just one thing that they could share that the podcast meant to them or did for them. Here's the panel. Kevin Eckler, Foreign Car Specialists, Poughkeepsie, New York. Pete Rudloff from Pete's Garage in Newark, Delaware. Ryan Clough from Dubworks in Cincinnati, Ohio. Rich Falco, instructor for CTI. Tom Lambert from Shatree Automotive in Layton, Utah. Marianne Croce from Croce's Transmissions in Norwalk, Connecticut. And also from SmallBizVantage.com. And Dwayne Myers, Dynamic Automotive in Frederick, Maryland, along with Christopher Peterson from Northwest Automotive in Kalispell, Montana. This distinguished alumni group shares their perspective on the value of the 400 episodes for themselves and the aftermarket. Find the episode's talking points, my guests' bios, and links to their previous episodes at remarkableresults.biz/A400. Who would have thought about this very powerful phrase, purpose, or even call it a truism? And that is, listen to learn just one thing. It has been the cornerstone of the stories told that has helped shape the context of the aftermarket. Hey, thanks again, and enjoy the perspective shared in this 400th episode. Hey, welcome everyone. It's the 400th episode. Carm Capriotto here, and I have a great lineup of guests there. We're going to kind of talk about the where we are and how we've impacted the industry here with the 400th episode, kind of a retrospective. But you know, I talk a lot about this a lot, that, you know, the podcast, both Remarkable Results and the Town Hall Academy, they're a summit for the perpetual or forever automotive aftermarket student. And I think so many in the industry have actually realized that they need to be a perpetual student and learn something new each and every day. I have to thank the fans of the show, the people that listen, the automotive aftermarket professionals that have said to themselves, hey, I'm going to make a daily dose or a weekly dose of listening to the podcast and getting inside of, you know, all the good stuff that's going on with the content that we provide. And in fact, it's not content really. Yeah, you could look at the episodes and say that, you know, there's 400, but it's the context. It's the things we talk about. It's the trends that are being discussed that really make up what we're doing. I've invited 8 guests to come on the show, and here's the theme. Here was their challenge. We started out on day one. Listen to learn just one thing. And my challenge to my panelists in an email to them was, tell me what listen to learn just one thing means to you.
Well, for me, listening to Learn Just One Thing means that you listen to each episode without the filter of pride. You listen with honesty, search within yourself, because no matter who you're interviewing, whether it's a coach, a shop owner, any of the technologies, you can always learn something. There's always something relatable to yourself. You can look back and reflect and see how that affects me, what the things are that I can do, how it can change. You talk about having a business coach, and I have a business coach, and the things that you say are spot on. A coach will lead and guide you in ways to help your business run smoothly and successfully. You talk about culture, and those things have helped us grow to where we have a very favorable, very positive shop culture. I have a great group of people that work for me. We work together as a team. The things that I've learned about growing that, building our work family, taking care of our people, the pay structure so they feel well compensated and appreciated for what they do, the education factor, and the fact that all of our guys and gals in the office, we all take education. We all do typically 60 to 80 hours a year. We go to national training conferences. We take all this stuff really seriously. Because of your input, I now visit the local BOCES, which is a high school training program, an automotive training program, and I've gone and done several guest speaking with them, as well as I'm joining the advisory board with them. So because of the different things that I've learned from each one of the episodes, I've been able to find on each subject an area where I could improve myself. We've just redone the office in realizing how appearance really makes a difference to the customers. We're working on modifying the shop and its layout to make it more efficient. So all of the areas and all of the subjects that you've interviewed people on and you've talked on, we've been able to apply them. And I think you're right. All the greatest ideas are fantastic, but without any action, they're all useless.
Well, that's perfect, Kevin. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You and your wife, Lisa, came on and did a great episode with us. Thank you. It was one of the most transparent ones we've ever done, and I recommend a lot of husband and wives that are going through some tough times to listen to yours. So thank you so much for that. And kind of a bridge to that, Ryan, when he says, you know, that we have to learn to implement, I'd love to hear your perspective.
Thanks, Carm. I would say to the audience listening today, you know there's more to shop ownership. The details may be fuzzy, but you know. And that suspicion has brought you to listen in on this podcast today and many other days as well. I think a lot of people out there are thinking, where do I start? The time we live in right now, the information age, it is an unprecedented time in which to own and run a small business. Resources that used to be available only to large companies and enterprises are now available to us, small businesses, sometimes, you know, with the push of a button. Years and years, people have said, you know, knowledge is power. Now, with just a little bit of digging, so much knowledge is available just at our fingertips. I think the paradigm is beginning to shift. If almost everyone has access to the knowledge, then I believe implementation is becoming the new power. But how? How can we confirm that the knowledge we discovered is any good? And if so, how do we implement it? Now, if you're like me on my journey, you're an automotive shop owner, there's a likely chance that you're tired, frustrated, maybe even stuck. You might be thinking, what time do I have to work on moving things forward with this big list of things? I'm just getting through every day. If you only have enough brain power to take one step, let it be this. Ask for help. I think it was already alluded to, you know, drop the ego. There is so much ego in our industry. Don't waste precious time reinventing the wheel. Ask anyone and everyone without shame all the time. Spend money on that help. Lots of money. More than you want to, more than you think you should. Whether it's a class, a seminar, a business group, or a coach, it will always pay for itself. Well, unless you accidentally signed up for like a nail salon owners 20 group, but even after you've made significant change, don't stop. Become a perpetual student. Keep your mind open, because the game today isn't going to be the same game it is tomorrow. So do this one thing, and then you're going to be the person other people are coming to asking how you did it.
Thanks. Strong message. Oh, by the way, congratulations on your new baby boy. And thank you. But did I thank all of you for all your great participation? You know, I started to go through the list of all of yours and wanted to write down and introduce you all by, you know, the podcast episode that you were in. And I realized that that would take 20 minutes because you've all given such great contributions to the show, be it in Town Hall Academy or multiple times on the Remarkable Results Radio podcast and our new show, For the Record. And many of you here have come on and done a really nice rant for us. And that's a good thing. And we're growing that show too. Okay. Thank you so much for that, Ryan. That so echoes. Anybody have any kind of interesting comment?
I would totally agree with it, because if you don't implement, you don't have trust from your guys, because if you talk about the things you're learning and the things you want to do, and it's just talk, it isn't worth anything. So implementing is key. I think he's absolutely correct on that.
What's so interesting that you brought that up is the Town Hall Academy on this coming Friday, so everyone will know when we're recording this, is on implementation. Our business coaches lab will be on implementation. So, what seems so funny about the podcast is we run into these themes. You know, I'll do an interview, you know, a month ago, and then I'll do, one, 2 weeks ago, and they kind of come up to the same topic. And then here comes the Town Hall Academy, and a whole bunch of episodes will go out, and they're almost thematic. They almost kind of ting in a row. You know, that's kind of cool, because I think it talks about the trends that are going on inside the industry. And in fact, how I, you know, pull a lot of these topics together is, of course, I'm on a lot of forums and I listen to what you guys have to say and I say, there's a good idea. I think we should do that. So thanks, Ryan. Appreciate that so much. Marianne Croce, God, thanks
Hello.
For everything that you've done for the show. Listen to Learn One, Just One Thing. What's that mean to you, man?
Well, for me, the value of this, everything that you've done, is huge, because this really goes deep. So many different areas of the aftermarket are represented here. And I think whether we're a shop owner, whether we're, you know, someone is in an association, whatever area, it's just human nature to look at the world through our own lens. So the value of this is to have all these different areas of the aftermarket represented on all of your podcasts, because it gives us a different vantage, a different way of looking at the aftermarket. For years, it's been very, very siloed. And it's not, you know, any one area or any one person's fault for doing that, but it's something that has happened over generations. And I think that's why a lot of people struggle, because of that siloed division between the manufacturers, part suppliers, and how they look at the industry. And then as shop owners, how we look at the industry from our perspective. And then you have associations and you have trainers and teachers. So I think uniting, listening to your podcast, listening to this, and actually going in and being able to unite and represent, you know, no matter what area you're in, to represent yourself as a professional and bring that professionalism to the industry is the best way to raise the bar.
A question to all of you. Am I missing anything? Is there a topic, a subject, a person, a segment of the industry that I haven't covered yet?
I think you've pretty much nailed all of it so far, Carm. A lot of it's going to be going back through and getting deeper into the weeds on you know, same subjects, I think. So I think you've done an excellent job.
And sometimes it takes people more than one time to hear something. So, yeah, I think you're doing a great job at that.
Yeah, I recently started to get into authors and books and stuff. And I got a line on a couple of authors for some books that I'm reading. And, you know, if they can nail it and help our industry, then let's have them on, right?
Absolutely.
Anything else, Marianne?
Well, I think that being an example of professionalism every day, no matter, you know, what part of the industry you're in, I think it's something that we need to remember. You know, your appearance, how do you show up every single day? How do you communicate with people? You know, how do you speak? What are the words that you choose? Are you mentoring people? Are you being that example every day, being more proactive than reactive? And lastly, you know, your actions. You know, how do you promote this industry? How do you show up and, you know, what are you doing to actually be that example? So I think that it really comes down to intentions, and it's been mentioned before, but it's easy to get, you know, stuck. It's easy to feel a little bit overwhelmed. But, you know, if you just take a step back, you listen to the episodes, and you remember that your core values are a part of, a big part of, you know, running your business or, you know, taking this industry and being an example, you know, as a professional.
Thank you. You know, I get cards and letters all the time. And I say cards in jest because I don't think, you know, we don't get mail anymore. But, you know, the old famous great quote, you know, send those cards and letters. And I get a lot of them. And requests for episodes, requests for, listen, we're struggling with this. We have some pain points. Can you help me? What was so ironic is it was just a few weeks ago that someone sent me an email because they've subscribed to my email feed and they just click on the button and can send me. Anybody can reach out to me at any time, karm@remarkableresults.biz. And I sent a whole bunch of episodes. Well, what happens is I'm kind of a guest at a shop owner's mastermind group, and I went to it last evening, and the individual who asked for all those episodes became a new member that night. And I had a chance to see this person face to face. And what was really ironic is there were a couple of episodes he's just quoting. It was this number and it was this person. And it really, and so after I was done listening, I did this. Well, you know, that just helps confirm and affirm the passion that I have when I first started out. And that is, you know, to help all ships rise in the industry and to get the stories told of, you know, certain success. And the beauty of it is that each of you here at a certain level of your own success. But I think if I asked you all, have you reached the pinnacle yet? You'll all tell me, I guarantee, say, absolutely not. But, you know, when we think back to the old days, to where we are today and the vision we have for tomorrow, you continue to work it. And that's the success story. The success story is, like you say, Marianne, just never, never give up. That was the whole idea of the 100th Town Hall Academy. You know, the idea came to me from Vic Taurasek, and he says, what if 20% of the industry could all become level 5 leaders? And what could we do to teach people in an episode of the Town Hall Academy 100th anniversary? And I tell you, that was a great, great episode. There were some really good leadership pointers in there. With more than 2,500 exhibiting companies from around the world, Apex is my favorite place to see, touch, and compare new products. It's also the place to meet your existing suppliers and develop new partnerships. Even though it's big, the Apex trade show is well organized and easy to navigate. Just plan to have an agenda and wear comfy shoes, as there are so many cool products, technologies, and product demos and people to see in a very short period of time. And while you're there, you'll also want to participate in the excellent training offered at Apex. It's a busy 3 days, but well worth your time and investment. Mark your calendar now to attend Apex 2019. It's November 5th through 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. To learn more, visit AAPEXshow.com. My friend Dwayne Myers, you're all my friends, but this guy and I go back a whole bunch of years. And when I first started, I reached out to him and asked him if he would bring his partners to come on the show. And that was back when I was really, really nervous to put out an episode that was longer than 20 minutes. So I did 3 episodes with Dwayne and his people from Dynamic. Hey, man, glad you could be here.
It's my pleasure, Carm. First off, you're talking about Vic. Vic's trying to make 20% level 5 leaders. He's working on it every day, yeah, without a doubt. That's a great guy and a couple of great podcasts you had there. Congratulations, 400. I remember, I guess it's about 4 years ago we talked about this. The fear, I mean, you left home and ventured to bright new seas. And man, look at you now.
You're right. I left home. I left the comfort of home.
Yeah, well, you did. You left a known for an unsure. And I think that's why you have the respect of this group here and the entire industry, because you're like us. You took the chance, and that makes you a peer. So we thank you for what you've done. You know, when I got the email, pick one thing. That's a hard one. And thankfully, we got a few other ones here to fill this out, because we could all talk about many, many things. But my first thought was the network you've created. But I really want to go further than that and add to that. It was in episode 222. We got through the episode, and at the end, you summarized it and put it in your words, that I was a developer of people. And I had never really looked at myself that way. And after that episode, I changed my thought process, and I went to, I hope, and I believe I went to a new level,
because of your words, you know. And I thought about it, and I did it now on purpose instead of by accident, of becoming a developer of people and helping others, really reaching out and digging. And your episodes just bring so much content that you can bring something out of each one of them and then put it into your team and then put it into the industry and help others that haven't had the benefit of getting to listen to the show. You know, the great thing about it is it's just not the podcast. You can look at the town halls. You know, just sit on a town hall and look at the comments that come across. You can learn so much from what people see and reflect on the words that are said by the person on the panel. It makes you really think in a different way. So you're really masterminding your group of three or four people. Now you have your tribe out there, you know, taking apart their words, and it really brings you to a new level. You know, between those episodes, your Carmcast, you know, your rant you have going on right now, they've all helped me develop myself and develop my team and others. You can really go to the resources of all your information. You know, you can learn about the culture of learning, education, pay plans, benefits, mentors, apprenticeship, team development. I mean, and I'd say the biggest thing is getting involved in the industry. That is so important for all of us. And you've really brought us together. And that's all part of the development I look at. You know, and yes, the network is key. You've made us friends. You know, we help each other, and you've created your own Carm cult. I mean, you've created your own cult where we're making a difference in the industry.
I love that, Dwayne. Carm cult. Yeah. Carmaraderie, caramelized. I've just had all this interesting stuff just happen recently. In fact, you know, I come up with these. Let me just say this: that one of my strengths is ideation, and you know, I can't help but you know just sometimes sit and listen and just be absorbed, and all of a sudden, pow, there comes an idea. And sometimes I have to interrupt whoever I'm talking to and says, ooh, 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 I have to get this off my chest. I'll write it down and I'll forget where I wrote it. And you know, the thing about being a developer of people, here's how that stuff happens. And I'm sure you're not the only one that I may have said something to that resonated with them. I get so into the conversation with the individual. Too bad I have to worry about all the stuff that's going on in the studio, all the notes that I have, the recorders and all this stuff, and I still have to put that somewhere else and be in the moment. And I think it's a great leadership lesson for anyone is to, you know, be present. And that hit me. When we were done with that episode, I said, man, you're just a developer of people. And I'm honored that stuck with you and allowed some transformation.
I'm honored that you've made an impact on me.
Well, thank you, man. Another drink of the wine. Appreciate your friendship and your great comments. Peter Rudloff?
Well, Carm, thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, man.
But here's the deal. If you've only learned one thing, you're absolutely doing it wrong. So I know we want one thing, and I'm trying to keep it as narrow as possible, but anybody that's only learned one thing on Remarkable Results Radio is doing it wrong. So they need to reboot and try to figure that out. Probably the biggest thing that I've learned from Remarkable Results Radio is that my way is okay, right? So I've got, it's no secret, I'm self-employed shop owner because I'm not employable, right? Everybody's heard me say that before. So I'm not employable, so I'm gonna go create my own job. I like working on cars. I fix cars for a living. You know, I still get my hands dirty. I don't run a shop the way a conventional shop owner runs a shop. I still fix cars almost every single day by choice. It's what I want to do. You know, we're high profit, low volume, you know, big tickets. It's what we do. We fix the cars that other people don't want to fix. And for years, I struggled with the idea that I was doing it wrong, right? And Remarkable Results has allowed me to open up and realize that, you know, my way is really okay. And by the way, that doesn't mean that my way is the only right way. It turns out there's a whole bunch of interesting ways to run a successful auto repair shop. There's a lot of really good ways and a lot of great people that do it. You know, my way is my way. And I've met a lot of other people through Remarkable Results Radio that like that. Like, hey, you know what? I like being a smaller shop. I like the interaction every day with my clients and, you know, shaking the hand of the person who I'm going to fix their car for. I enjoy that. And If I can be profitable at that, then that's okay. The second thing that I pulled out of Remarkable Results Radio, and I'm breaking the rule by going to the second one, Carm, I apologize. So bottom line is Remarkable Results Radio has shown me that the automotive trade, we're really doing okay, guys. You know, we're not in dire straits. We're not in a horrible position. We've got our issues. Don't get me wrong. We've got, you know, some reputation to fix, and we got some stuff that we can do better, but we're a good, honorable trade, man. And, you know, I'm proud when people say, hey, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm an auto mechanic. I'm proud of that. I'm not embarrassed by that, because I know what it takes to, you know, fix cars and advanced data bus systems and ADAS and all the other stuff. And even with those challenges that are coming down the pike, it's a fun trade. It's a good trade. We're really valuable to the rest of the country. We're one of the most valuable trades that's out there. I see nothing but bright future for the auto trade going down the road. And Remarkable Results Radio is going to be a big part of that, because it shows everybody what can be. So anytime somebody listens to one of Carm's podcasts, they see what alternate futures can I have? You know, what directions can I grow in? What are all my possible opportunities? And that's amazing. That's something that you just couldn't get 20 years ago, and maybe even 10 years ago. Where were you going to find that opportunity? Where were you going to find those alternate realities, if you will? And so I love it. I'm a fan. And Remarkable Results Radio is, if you've only learned one thing, you did it wrong.
Thanks, Peter.
I'll say something real quick. Is Pete? It's okay to measure success in different ways. If you're happy and you're successful, congratulations. You don't measure yourself to other people. Measure to yourself.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. That's spot on, Wayne.
And I'd like to add something there. I agree with Pete said, if you only got one thing out of one episode, you're not paying attention, because it was tough for me to narrow down that one thing that I wanted to talk to. But also for techs in this field, for guys I know who listen to this every day, they see there's other paths, there's other career choices, trainers and business owners and coaches, and they go, oh, there's a whole nother world beyond turning wrenches that is available to me that they might not have known otherwise.
Really, Pete, I liked what you said about being proud to be an automotive mechanic. That really resonated. I started out as a tech. I know a lot of you guys did. When I grew up, you know, there were some, I don't know, blue collar guys that I really looked up to. They were hardworking. They were good. And, you know, this day and age, I don't know if it gets as much or as it should. So just to hear that, man, I think that's something that we could all be shouting out there a little bit more and hopefully changing the conversation.
I'm there with you, Pete, as far as I'm in the shop. I don't run my shop conventionally either. I prefer to be wrenching and keeping the guy smooth in the back. That's the way to do it. That's where my passion is. That's what I love doing. It allows me to be very creative with my hands and my mind. Sometimes I feel from people boxed in, like I have to be in the front, and you have to do this, and you have to fit the pattern, and I don't. And we're still successful, and I'm really happy inside.
I love Kevin's story, everyone. He struggled for years. He lived in the bays. He decided to reinvent his business, get a business coach for the sure purpose so he could stay in the bays. Pete said it, an alternate future. And this describes almost exactly what you said on your show, that, you know, there are other ways to do it, Pete, just like you said. There's other ways. And there isn't a formula. There isn't a black and white anything in our industry. And I guess if you think about the independent aftermarket and the 250,000 shops, whatever the number is out there, there's 250,000 different ways to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, a business coach can give you guidance and get you into a framework, but you're still going to live in your own way, in your own world. And you could have a, you know, alternative business model and still be successful and still make 20% and still be the happiest guy in the world and, you know, a great contributor to the industry and a great employer. And that's what makes us so wonderful, being independents. And all we want to do is to rise those ships, to tell everyone, listen, stop living down there. Stop having an attitude. Stop hurting our image and stop hurting our industry. Start talking bad about each other and, you know, get up and start talking proud. Thank you for that. That was just wonderful. Rich Falco. Now, everyone who is on the panel are shop owners, and Rich, you're the only non-shop owner. Rich, you are an instructor.
Yes, I sold my shop in 2003. So former or reformed shop owner, I guess you could say. So I am a trainer, and I still listen to every podcast. I still get something out of all of them, whether it's something that I bring to my class or something that I do myself. For me, George Menchu's episode 241, where he talked about how people learn, really resonated with me and made me rethink how I present my classes. I have guys who've are seeing me for the first time, or maybe have sat in my class for 5 years, and I've got to hopefully give them something to take home. Hopefully they get at least that one thing. And I loved what I got out of George's podcast was how they learn and how I can give them those little pieces to fill in the blanks. And it was that aha moment. I went, oh, that's brilliant. I wish I had thought it myself, and I'm going to apply that. And I give him credit for it as much as possible.
So share it with us.
He talked about filling out a crossword puzzle, that we don't just start at one and work your way down. You start with the clues you know, and you slowly fill in the blanks, and eventually you can get to those harder things. And in the world of automotive, every tech out there sees a new thing every single day that he has to take what he knows and fill in the blanks and figure out how it works so that he can fix it. So I just thought that was a great way of putting it. And hopefully I fill in some blanks for some guys.
Well, thank you so much for that, because that, you know, George does have, it was just a great episode. He's done two with us. And I encourage anyone, you know, the website's just chock full of stuff. One of the things that I learned, you know, I became a podcaster, and then I became a web guy. And then I became, oh, what else can I put on the website so people can have? What other kind of resources? And of course, the search bar and the tag cloud and all the different series, and now the books page and the photos page. And it's really a kind of a what's what and a who's who inside the industry. And so the cool thing about it is, oh, I'm listening to this, and Rich says, go listen to George Menchu. You just got to, yeah, if you're listening through an app, it's tough. You can't do any search. But all I recommend you do is to, you know, go to my website, even on your smart device or on your desktop, type in George Menchu, write down the numbers in your head or on a piece of paper or in your to-do list. And then when you are mobile and you're listening mobile, because 60% of my audience is listening mobile, then you know, scroll up, find that episode and listen to it. And you know, in the mode, whatever mode you're in. Commuting is happens to be the largest listening environment that I'm in. And the beauty of the apps is that when you stop the car, you stop listening, it remembers where you were, and then you can get right back to it. And you know, and that's why I call these long form audio interviews. It would be like you were listening to talk radio on AM, and you'd say, oh, darn it, I'm at the doctor's office, I'm at work, and you missed continued dialogue from the host of talk radio. Well, with the podcast, you never miss that. You continue to get it. So thanks so much for that, Rich. Appreciate you being here. Christopher Peterson, you're up next.
Howdy, Carm. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I would like to start off by saying we are all students, and what I really love about what you've done is you are basically this facilitator that has brought in all of these different training aids and access to different methods of learning throughout our industry, things that most of us would never have access to any other way except for through what you do. You know, when I got your email about the one thing, like so many others have said, it was really difficult to narrow it down. A bunch of things went through my mind. What are some of the things over the last 2-3 years that I've really opened my mind to implementation of new ideas? Not seeing other shops as competition, you know, that was when I first started in the industry. We were always talking, you know, the competition down the street, what are they doing? What do we got to do to be better than the competition? Listening to others in the industry, I've really shifted my view on that. And so now I see the shop down the street as a furtherance of our industry, an ambassador, if you will, of our industry. And so when you start thinking of it that way, you start focusing on the positives and what we have in common. And I think society as a whole could probably take some cues from that. But the one thing that really stuck out is you had an episode with Steve Miller on his, I believe it was on his book, Uncopyable. And it was so refreshing. I come up with all these ideas all the time, and I bounce them off different people in the industry that I know. And I used to get that all the time. Oh, nobody does that. We don't do that in our industry. And, you know, it was kind of discouraging. I had a conversation with my wife here not too long ago, and I said, what is it about our shop that sets us apart from other shops? And she paused, and I stopped her right there, and I said, you answered the question. So we started brainstorming, what could we do to set ourselves apart? And then when we watched Steve Miller's, or listened to Steve Miller's podcast with you on that, it just kind of reaffirmed that. So, you know, looking into things like mentorship, you know, we've worked on a mentorship program quite a bit in the last couple of years. It's really worked. Networking, as so many people have on here already have mentioned, ask questions. I'm constantly asking other shop owners, coaches, vendors, customers, you know, what is it you would like to see? What if you could change one thing, what would it be? So on and so forth. And it's been eye-opening, the amount of information that I've gotten back, which brought me all the way back to, I think it was Kevin that mentioned earlier about implementation. So we actually created, we've got this sticky note on our desk, our implementation for 2019, all these different things that we want to do. And we start crossing them off the list, like putting a whiteboard on the wall. What are we going to achieve this year? And when we come up with those outside of the box ideas, they go up on the board. We might have some discussion as to whether they're a good idea or not. But
well, thank you for bringing up Steve Miller. Thank you very much for Uncopyable. It's an interesting story. I received a call from Steve Miller's wife. She says, I've done some work in the industry. We hear you have a hell of a podcast. I'm going to send you Steve's book. It's called Uncopyable. Great. Send it. I couldn't put it down. I read it in August, I believe, over a weekend. I couldn't put it down. I found it fascinating. I called her back and I said, interview, must do an interview. She says, no problem. It took like 3 months to finally work our schedules out. And I have to tell you something. If you've not listened to Steve Miller and the Uncopyable episode, you have to, because I think one of the best stories in there is the cool kids club that Lexus has established out in Australia. And the concept of what the cool kids club is like is making yourself uncopyable. And so thanks for bringing that up. I actually had a discussion today on the phone about Steve Miller and the book with someone else. And it's amazing how this stuff that's in the catalog library continues to recycle itself up. And when I look back at all of these 400 episodes, they all have relevancy today. All the messages that you've brought to the show, they still are very, very relevant. I want to ask a question to you all, because Christopher just brought it up. Why aren't we, and you basically said this, the competition down the road, you know, I can't look at them as competition. I have to look at them as peers in the industry that we have to help make better. So why aren't we embracing each other enough? Or you're all closer to the street. Is it really happening more and more?
I got a really good example, actually, where you put me in touch with a shop owner who was right on the cusp of buying. He was a technician, and he was on the cusp of buying the shop that he worked for. It was a shop that barely had any profit margin to it. They kind of floated through and kind of blew through the breeze, basically, but were getting by, but not successful. And I talked with him. Can't remember if it was right as he was buying it or right after he bought it. You had put me in touch with him. And I back and forth, you know, maybe a dozen emails or something. Really great guy. And, you know, hard worker, wants to do the right things, wants to move his business in a direction of profitability and be successful. I gave him some tidbits, little tiny stuff, and he got it. One of them was get a coach, right? You get yourself a professional coach, because I'm not. I'm a shop owner. Get a professional coach. And he did. And a year later, he emailed me very recently. I shared the email with you that he's, after 1 year, he's getting ready to pay off, what I think he said, 6 years of a 12-year note in 1 year of what he borrowed to buy the business. And was just completely, you know, I really appreciate the time that you spent. And it wasn't a lot of time on my part. And for me, it was, hey, here's an opportunity to help another shop owner, you know, get in and find their path, find their right way of doing it. And it was an absolute honor to be able to do that. And I think everybody on this panel thinks that way, right? I think we all are, hey, what can we do to help? What can we do to, you know, bring our fellow shop owner up? Because we've all had somebody that said, hey, what can I do to help you come up? Right. So we've all had that experience of somebody, you know, reaching a hand down to us and pulling us up. And then it's now our turn to do the same. And that comes back to a lot of being a trade. You know, we are the automotive trade. And when you're a trade, you have an innate obligation to help the folks that are coming into the trade to pass that knowledge to them so that they can turn it, churn it, and make it theirs. Right. So that's part of being a trade, is it gets passed down to us and then we have to pass it down to somebody else. So I think that's a big piece of it. And you know, we're better because of you. You help facilitate that in a lot of ways.
Thanks, Peter. Can everyone who's on the on this anniversary edition say, and I'd like to ask every one of you, have you all helped someone, say, in the last year or two?
Hope so.
Absolutely.
Hope so. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's going to the BOCES program and talking to the kids, giving them a real world expectation of how you really need to prepare for the industry, what the industry has to offer you, or what the profession has to offer you, what your potentials are and what you can really be. Just, it's not just fixing stuff, but teaching the kids what they need to learn and what they'll need to be in order to grow successfully.
What's the reaction, everyone, if there's a shop down the road, you kind of hear through the parts people and the tool trucks that they're really struggling, and you make the decision, hey, pick up the phone, call the individual, Bob, for example, say, hey, Bob, this is Pete, let's go have coffee. Can that work? Does that happen?
You know, Carl, honestly, I think it's a little tougher when it's the guy down the street. Because I think that there's a lot of suspicion, probably. Why is this guy down the street calling me, right? Because a lot of people don't understand that, you know, we're all in the same boat. You know, we're not in different boats. We're all in the same boat. So it's either going to rise or fall together. It's easier when it's, you know, somebody that's in another state, you know, 1,000 miles away, then the suspicion lowers because they don't view you as competition. Just because I don't view my local shop owners around me as my competition doesn't mean that they don't believe that I'm their competition, right? So when I approach somebody local, I think it's a tougher sell. It's harder to get the local guys to say, and gals to say, hey, you know, we want to listen to what you have to say. You know, we want to hear your story. Somebody that's 1,000 miles away, you know, I'm in Delaware, somebody in Denver is more likely to say, hey, I'm interested in what you have to say, because there's no chance that, you know, you're going to try to undermine any of my clients.
Do you all agree with that?
I think that completely. Social media has allowed us to expand our network beyond just, you know, the guys down the street, and share ideas and theories as to what helps us in whatever it may be, technical or sales or business.
Unfortunately, I do kind of agree with that. We've been trying for a couple of years now to get a business development group here with shop owners in my area. And what I hear is we don't really want to work with the competition. We're afraid of working with our competition because they feel that, or they're misinformed that when working with competition or another shop in that capacity, that you're having to give away your numbers and how you advertise and how you do this, rather than focusing on, hey, what can we as the automotive industry that represents, you know, Anytown USA, what can we do to give back to the community, or what can we do to help the local trade schools or the high school auto shop classes? You know, what can we do for buying power to with the uniform companies or with insurance, that kind of stuff? I mean, there's so many positives that we can gain from working together, but it seems like a lot of shops, and I hate to stereotype, but it seems like maybe it's the smaller shops focused more on the negative side of it because they see a larger operation. And yeah, there's that, they think there's an ulterior motive there.
It was at Apex this year. It was episode 392. I'm getting old. And it was a shop talk series. It was called The Leading Ladies. And it was a top ATI group of all women. And they have the biggest numbers in the entire ATI 20 group. And we were really going hot and heavy at the Apex studio. And all of a sudden, we started to talk about this exact subject, because this is a pattern. I ask this a lot on purpose, because, you know, it's part of my mission, get all ships to rise. And how can we all do this? And how can we break down those barriers? Well, we were sitting there and we were talking about the secret sauce. And Christopher, to your point, why would I want to go into a local group? And I know a couple of local groups in Buffalo, and they're rocking it. Get together, they do their thing, they share, and they're rocking it. Well, we were talking about the secret sauce. And if you go back to 392, you can hear it, and here it hit me. I know what their secret sauce is, I said. I know why they don't want to come and tell you about their secret sauce. They can't pay their bills. They're living paycheck to paycheck. They have no money in the bank. They can't pay the rent, and they're just about out of business. And I will not share that with you, because it hurts me deep inside, you know, and I can't get my humility up to go out and say, well, maybe this is really a sign that, you know, I could get some help. And I like to say that and tell that story over and over again, because we have an element in the industry, you know, and there's the top 20%ers, and there's the 60%, and then there's the, you know, the bottom people. And my goal is to get that middle group to continue to launch through their success and become a top 20%ers. And as someone said it earlier, I don't know, maybe it was you, Kevin, they got to put their ego on the shelf. And maybe the more we talk about it, Christopher, like this, and people will say, wow, okay, I need to calm myself down and get involved. Maybe, you know, who was it that said, wow, that just hit me, you know, Dwayne, you said it earlier. And maybe the more we say this stuff, the more we crash through, we break through, because we keep telling this story.
Yep, I agree. I think it's important that we keep trying. And like Kevin said, with the vendor, you know, maybe it takes four or five tries before they finally come around and they try it. But ultimately, it's our responsibility as stewards of this industry. If we really care about the reputation and the image of our industry, it's our responsibility to continue trying.
There's a lot of fear when they're in that mindset. So as you touched on, and when you're in that fear base, it's hard for a lot of people to think positively or optimistically, and they don't have the confidence. And if a shop owner or someone is in that, there are wins, so to speak, there are things that are going right in their shop. So if they were to reflect on those and say, okay, you know, where did we come from? You know, what have we done that's been going well? And how did we do that? And then turn around, like you said, and reach out, whether it's, you know, being on this, listening to this podcast, whether it's talking to other, you know, local shop owners in the area and just asking a question. My husband and I both reached out to owners when we noticed that a lot of people weren't going to training in our area. And we were really into training. But again, if you're of that mindset where you're in survival mode, or you're, you know, afraid to try something new, you're just doing what you're constantly doing, it makes it really difficult. I think they lack the confidence to do that.
Thanks, Marianne. Appreciate that so much. Tom Lambert.
Hey, Carm. Hey, thanks for having me on, buddy.
Thanks,
it's an honor. Your show was actually the first podcast I was ever on. So takeaways for me, honestly, so as I've grown up in this industry, this is all I've ever done. I've transitioned from, you know, a micromanaging shop owner that was not seeking any training, just kind of stuck doing the same thing over and over, to obviously now on the other end of it and trying to share it with as many people as possible. But I think we'll all agree that there is not a shortage of hardworking people in our industry. I really believe that our industry can outwork anybody I've ever met. The problem we're still having, as I'm going around and reaching out to shop owners, is they're so busy working hard that it's very tough to get them to try something just a little bit different. Top takeaway first, maybe somebody new listening is to take that little extra time, maybe it's an hour a week, and try something else. You've nailed working hard. I know that. Any shop I step into, everybody's working really hard, but there's usually maybe a little different angle you could take. So you don't know what you don't know. So try something else. Take that time. And Ryan nailed it. I mean, there's just so much info and assets out there available to us now. It shouldn't be a question of if you're going to listen to Carm's podcast or not. It should be a question of which one do I have time to listen to this week. It shouldn't be a question of what class am I going to this quarter, or sorry, am I going to class this quarter? It should be a question of what class am I going to take. And then it shouldn't be a question of, am I going to have a business coach or not? It should be, which business coach am I going to hire? And Carm, you've done a good job of letting all types of everybody in our industry come on your show. I don't feel like you're one-sided at all, whereas a lot of these things can go. So it's nice, you know, that there's a lot of different shop owners that have totally different ideas that all get to come on and we all get along great. There's a lot of consultants that are on each side of different opinions and ideas. And it's nice for everybody to be able to see the whole picture, because there's something you can learn from everybody. And then for me personally, just getting to come on your show and kind of dig deep within myself and explain kind of what I've been through and what I know, has definitely helped me a lot in life. It's funny. It's funny the things that you can kind of dig into when you're trying to explain it in a fashion to help somebody else. It's addicting once you actually to dig down in there and you find something to help somebody else. It's been addicting for me, and definitely changed the way I've done business. Changed my life forever, actually. So I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. It's amazing to see and to get and to find a different outlook on things. I mean, that's the essence of what you just said. You know, open yourself to different thinking.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. You all nailed it. You know what you've done? You've really pushed me very, very hard to continue to work very, very hard to find different guests, to do subjects we've never even thought of doing, to find guests that will, you know, break barriers and to keep telling stories over and over again. I mean, we every once in a while bring on people multiple times because there are different perspectives to get on different topics and different subjects. In fact, we just don't do a generic show anymore. We kind of try to narrow down a particular focus or a particular topic. So any final comments from my wonderful and very loyal crew here?
Carmen, I'll start off by saying congratulations to you. You have made a profound impact on the aftermarket repair industry, more than I ever could have imagined somebody doing a podcast could have had.
Well, should we tell the story of how hard you were to come on my show? Episode 123, by the way.
I think, isn't that old news?
No. Isn't that something? I mean, it is old news, by the way, because I think you talked about that in 300. But Peter is 123. Dwayne, that one that you were talking about was 222. And, you know, what's amazing is how some of these episodes have just landed these really cool numbers.
So I'll go ahead and I'll finish that with, originally, I had no interest in coming on a podcast. Didn't even really know what a podcast was. And you had chased me down. You chased me for a little bit. And I kept saying, yeah, no problem, guy. We'll hook that up. No problem. And then finally, ASA asked me to do a podcast with you and Donnie for the Scandal website that I helped do. And I was stuck, right? I said, all right, well, I'll get through that. And then I'll just kind of sneak out of it and we'll be good. No problem. And then I got on the podcast with you and Donnie, and you basically completely turned my head around. You flipped me over on my heels. And at the end of the podcast, you said, so when are we going to do your podcast, Pete? I said, you know what, Carm, let's get that set up now, because I understand this now. I didn't understand it before. And then we did episode 123, and that was a lot of fun. And then the other episodes that I've been on since have been a lot of fun, and I appreciate what you've done and the foresight that you had, because you had an idea of what you could do with this. And I hope it's exceeded what you've even dreamt of before. And I'm really looking forward to all the big things it's going to do in the future.
Thanks, Pete. That's why I'm doing these milestone shows. you know, we did the 100, 200, 300, now we're the 400. Trust me, you've got to pinch me to realize where we are. And, you know, this was just a little spurt of a seed of an idea for some years ago. And it would have not happened, never have happened, if it wasn't for you, the entire industry, willing to give. And, you know, that was something that I had to take a chance on, that there were enough industry people from all aspects of the industry that were willing to come on and say, I got a story to tell. I have an idea to sell. I have something I'd love to share. And if that didn't happen, I would have been, you know, I don't know, maybe delivering papers. Who knows?
Well, it's been a magical run. So I'm excited about it looking back, and I'm excited looking forward.
Thanks.
I got to say, as Pete did, congratulations on this. This has been fantastic. I started out as 20 years struggling, surviving day to day, wondering if I'm going to make the rent. I was that guy that wouldn't listen and was just going forward with the limited things I knew, that no man is an island. Well, I was a little island in the middle of a great big ocean, and I didn't know that there was help, and I didn't know there was anything. And it finally broke to the point where I got a coach. And then I realized, hey, there's 8 or 10 other guys that are going through the same exact things as I am. And then my coach got me in touch with you, and I started listening. And I realized that, holy cow, there's incredible resources, and there's so many great ideas and so many people to assist, and I'm not alone. And what fantastic ideas that there are. It took me being at a point in my life where I was willing to sit down and listen. And prior to that, I didn't know it existed, and I didn't know there was help. And so congratulations, and a huge thank you. You allowed me to share my story that hopefully somebody listens to and says, I need to wake up, and there's better for me.
Thanks, Kevin. I find Kevin and Lisa fascinating because he comes on the show and he continues to give. And I would have never thought you were that stubborn.
You have no
I say
idea.
That with respect because when you listen to Kevin now and you hear what he has to say and he tells the story of where he came from and where he was, this is the story of change. You know, first of all, we have to allow ourselves to change, and the people around us, they have to allow us to change. You can't be the person you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. God, go to a high school reunion and people come up to you and you say, hey, you changed. And what you should say next is, thank God.
Yeah, without this, God knows where I'd be. Would I be paying the rent? Would I still be able to pay the rent? Would I have given up and gone away by now? And instead, I find myself giving back and trying to convince people to get a coach, to listen to the podcast and take the...
You got a coach that kicked you in the butt.
I do, and I needed that.
Yeah, that's exactly what you needed.
Hey, Carm, again, congratulations, but what I want to see at the next industry event, I want to see t-shirts and flags with the Carm Cult.
Yes.
All over them. That way, when we're walking through the halls, the tribe can unite. It's like our badge of honor. So... we need to work on the swag so we can unite. This would create even a more special group. And I'll follow back around off of what Pete said originally, because it really made a difference in this episode for me listening to him. Is, you know, be proud of your success, no matter, you know, how you measure that or how you did it. We are the independent aftermarket. I mean, sometimes to a fault. But we are independent and be proud of it. And Pete, man, you hit it, but I will go another level on that is to keep getting better, helping others get better, and invest in the industry.
That's great, Dwayne. I love it.
Yep, awesome.
Is cult a negative thing?
No, not in this case.
Carm, I just wanted to say thanks also for everything that you do. I mean, kind of the spirit here of this discussion was, you know, the ships and the tides and everyone rising. And, you know, getting help, like I suggested, can cost money, can cost a lot of money. But there's also some really great resources out there that don't have to cost a lot of money. And, you know, this is one of them. I think the description of this as a, you know, a 20 group, you know, is very accurate. I mean, especially for those, you know, really smaller shops out there that are just struggling with that budget but still want and need the help and are willing to put in the time. How awesome is it to have something like this, you know, available, and the diversity of the people you bring and the topics you cover, you know, it's invaluable. So thanks.
Thanks so much, Ryan. It was Andy Bizub who said the podcast is like a 40-minute 20 group. Hey, look, it was great to have all of you here. Thank you so much for celebrating the 400th milestone for me. I think the strength of the message was gotten across, and maybe we can convert one or two people and help all ships rise. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.